The PM's Drought Summit is happening on Friday. Farmers want action on the national policy as the drought spreads to parts of Victoria and South Australia, while patchy rain in New South Wales and Queensland hasn't really changed the significant situation that we're seeing in those states in terms of drought. David Claughton has been looking into what changes people want with the policy.
The hole's sort of finished. We can't do much more with it. Here she goes. She's just starting up now. It's in bedrock, so the cracks that are in the rock is what letting the water in. So if we go for another fracture, then there's potential for it to cave in.
Jim O'Connor has been digging deep to reach water. He lives on a property in the far west of New South Wales, and he borrowed $250,000 from a farm innovation fund to install balls, pumps, solar panels, pipelines, even a desalination plant. Drought has smashed his business in the short term, but he's busy drought-proofing it ahead of the next one. Cheap loans are the big-ticket item when it comes to drought aid. Federal and state governments have budgeted billions to help farmers drought-proof their properties. But is it enough, and should more be done? The National Farmers Federation says the current intergovernmental agreement on drought program reform has failed to deliver an effective, timely or consistent approach. They want state-based programs to be harmonised, a national portal so farmers can easily find support, and some clear triggers for drought measures. They want the federal government to subsidise a crop insurance scheme and more favourable tax treatment for farm management deposits. They'd like a tax-free threshold on off-farm income, an infrastructure program for regional areas, more changes to make the farm household allowance accessible, and a regenerative agriculture program that rewards land stewardship. Regenerative agriculture is the buzzword this time round. Martin Royds believes it's made his property far more resilient and financially viable.
I mean, I can farm that can produce healthy food, build soil biology, build biodiversity, and clean water runs off the land. And I'm not spraying any chemicals. And initially, you know, the department guys were going, oh, but we've got to produce more food. And I'm going, I'm actually producing more food than the conventional or chemical farmers. And they go, that can't be true. Well, look at the Soils for Life website, and they've done the scientific study for 10 years, and we can do it. Yes, I don't pay some chemical company a lot of money, but I can make good food inexpensively.
Charlie Maslin is another regenerative farmer. He's been building small weirs on his property, spreading the water over the landscape, but he says changes to legislation are needed to overcome some obstacles.
Within sort of a couple of years, there are reds growing. The water is level is building up. You can see all the riparian areas with the amount of moisture there. They really recover quickly. And we've got little creeks that used to run for a day with a storm that now run for about 10 or 12 weeks as a result of the few weirs in them. So it certainly prolongs the flow of water. Once you've got a bit of water there, the ecology changes really quickly. You can hear the frogs here in the background. Before, there were no frogs along the stream. Plants start to grow, and you know, the plants become the great healer. They're the things that hold it all together. And it's just a matter of giving it a go and stick by the rules and don't go over 500 mils.
So, by the sounds of that, you think that the legislation needs to change?
Oh, I think it's definitely the case. If you want to run as many stock in a paddock and have a stream totally bare and continue eroding, you're allowed to do that. It's quite legal to do that. But if you want to put some little structures in it to try and repair it somewhat and get it back up to what it was, you're breaking the law, which is just is totally crazy.
Cheap loans on offer from state and federal governments can already be used to do environmental work, like planting trees, manage desertification, and make changes to recharge the aquifer. Renewable energy policy is also a key part of the drought and sustainable agriculture debate. Solar panels and pumps reduce costs for farmers. Wind towers generate income. Charlie Prell from the Wind Farm Alliance wants to see more certainty on renewable energy policy to encourage wind and solar businesses in regional areas.
If we get it right, that most of that infrastructure can actually be built in Australia. So we could actually reinvigorate the industry in Australia, small industry, places like Whyalla. Steelworks, Portland, there's a turbine tower manufacturing plant in Portland that was just about to go out of business until the Victorian government put some certainty into the market, and now they're employing over the next 6 months, I think, an extra 100 people.
While the federal government has been reluctant to discuss climate change policy, putting a price on carbon could well be on the agenda for some farm groups. It would see farmers rewarded for storing carbon in the ground and would help drive the growth in renewables. As everyone gathers in Canberra for the summit, Bryce Cam from the Cam Agriculture Group is warning the policymakers to avoid anything that looks like a handout. He runs a beef business and wants policies aimed at making farmers profitable.
We are crying out in this nation for a firm drought policy to take us forward, and that shouldn't be a conversation that's about drought angels and buy bail. Mm-hmm. If we had effective vegetation management across this country, if we had good water policy outcomes in actually looking at harnessing the resources in Northern Australia, and very much good trade outcomes in delivering, you know, access for our producers and their export markets into fair and equitable trade into markets such as the European Union, then we would have a strong and resilient agricultural industry that would manage its own balance sheet, manage its own affairs of working in this variable climate that we experience here in Australia. Yes, there's conversations we had about tax concessions and how we rebuild out of dry periods, but very much that, again, in my view, goes to a handout and a philosophy. Whereas I think, you know, the stronger case would be actually about building resilient agriculture.
Bryce Cam, any of that report by David Claughton with contributions from Sarah Tomevska and also Sally Bryan and Josh Becker as well.